welcome to our latest podcast, Winning with Sepa. Today we're going to be asking John Williams about whether everyone's ready for Sepa. John is responsible for innovation and working within the payments industry and strategic projects within fraud and authentication. He's got a great track record and his work covers technical and marketing disciplines, particularly with looking at commercial opportunities created by market change and technological developments. Today, we're just going to be looking at Sepa and the impact of the rapidly approaching deadline of February 2014. So, John, what is the level of adoption you're seeing at the moment?
So, level of adoption of Sepa is actually quite low at the moment. Sepa came in 2008, and there's a deadline of 2014 for the Eurozone to migrate transactions across there. Unfortunately, so far, 35% of the credit transfers have been migrated across in that five-year period, and we've got less than a year to go. What's even more concerning is that only 2% of the direct debit volumes in euros in the eurozone have moved across, and so we've got 98% of those transactions to move within a year.
There's some big numbers there, John. How prepared are payment service providers for Sepa?
So payment service providers, in large part, have been prepared for Sepa for a large period of time. Certainly all the big banks have had Sepa services available for their corporate and governmental customers since 2008. However, we've yet to see the volume of transactions move across to those Sepa mechanisms, certainly the domestic transactions.
Well, the banks sound like they're in a good place. How prepared are the corporate treasuries for Sepa?
I think it's fair to say that corporate treasurers have been waiting for a compelling reason to move across to their Sepa transactions. And they have a number of challenges in front of them, which has meant that they need to make that business case. And without a compelling end date for the migration, it's been very difficult to sell to their boards. So corporate treasurers are really looking to migrate as late as possible to minimise the cost of the investment in the Sepa project. And really, they've got a number of challenges ahead of them. First thing is simply just getting the budget for the project. But then they have challenges around making sure that their payments software is compliant, making sure their data is ready for Sepa, and making sure that their payments files, which they send to their payment service providers, are in the right format, which is now an international standard called ISO 20022.
That's clearly a lot of ground to cover. From what you've seen, are they really aware of what's needed?
So I think corporate treasurers have been monitoring Sepa for a number of years, but have been waiting to see mass migration and to try and learn lessons from their peers. From some statistics from Eurofinance, around 50% of businesses have not yet started their Sepa migration projects. And many of those businesses that have started their projects are actually discovering new parts of the business that they hadn't thought was within Sepa scope, which are now within Sepa scope. For example, many businesses neglect to think about paying their own staff using Sepa transactions.
Well, it sounds like the scope's actually expanding. Have they really got the budgets and the people in place to carry out a complete Sepa migration?
We believe that many of the corporate treasurers will need to engage with business owners all the way across their organisations to make sure they are completely Sepa compliant. So that's things like payroll, collections, but also dividend payments and supplier payments as well. And therefore, assembling the project team is quite a large undertaking. It's not just a simple IT project. It needs to actually be thought about in terms of the business priorities as well.
With the deadline approaching, will organisations be able to get around non-compliance? I mean, what's the impact if they don't comply?
So theoretically, if a business makes no changes to its current payment schemes, its payment providers can just turn around and refuse to accept those payments. And in fact, that's what the Sepa Regulation 260 suggests that they should do. There are penalties for both payment service provider and for the corporate if they send payments in a legacy format when they're meant to have migrated across to Sepa data standards and ISO 20022. So therefore, each country can impose penalty costs on both parties. However, it's likely that some organisations will be able to provide some contingency services for a short period of time, which may help them for a couple of months if they just miss that Sepa deadline.
Even with the contingency, there's clearly a long way to go. Thank you very much, John.
Thank you.
For more information on SEPA, simply log on to our website at www.experian.co.uk/SEPA.